All right, it's good to see everyone back today, and let me say, to be here on a day that we remember and celebrate that the tomb, as Lynn says, is empty. It has been my tradition for 40-some years that I've been teaching. If I'm teaching a certain thing, I do not deviate. So if you were expecting an Easter lesson this morning, you'll be disappointed. But if you were expecting to hear from God, you'll be elated. So if you would, turn to Psalms. We're actually in the 21st chapter of Revelation. Last week, you'll recall, we saw Satan bound for 1,000 years. We saw the Lord reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan was loosed. And to demonstrate the depravity of man, and that man cannot save himself, even after living with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years, Satan is able to deceive mankind and get a vast army to go against God. But that's the final hurrah. Satan is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. It says where the beast and the false prophet are. So if you think a person is going to go to the lake of fire and get out after a while, it's not like it is today, folks. We don't have no bail release. God's going to put you there and you're going to stay there. And then we saw the great white throne, from whose face the heaven and earth fled, for there was no place found for them. And the books were opened, and the book of life was opened, and they were judged out of the book. And whosoever's name, just like you know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever. Well, it's the same way on the other thing, folks. If you're not found written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, you will be in the same place that Satan and all his demons are for eternity. For eternity. I would say a long time, but that times it for eternity. Psalms 51 and 17. Just go read one verse and then I'm going to move on. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What does that tell you? Why does he add that last part where he says, the sacrifice of God is a contrite spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. That God will not despise. Why does he put that in there? Well, because if you don't come to God with that, he will despise you. You know, these people that don't want to see anything but God's love for anything. No. He says, I won't despise you if you come the way I tell you to. But if you don't, I will despise you. File that despise. You'll see it again. You'll see it again. Now look, if you will, at Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. I'm going to read very quickly. Very quickly. Isaiah I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought not. I said, behold me, behold me. In other words, he's saying, look at me, see me. You know, Lynn and I were talking this morning about families that now realize that not bringing their children to church is a mistake. And it is. But folks, when you get here, if you don't see him, you'd have been just as well off stay home. You wouldn't be any better off as if you stayed home, because you have to see him. He says, look at me, see me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name, I have spread out my hands. Think about that. God, who is man that thou art mindful of him, O Lord? Or the son of man that thou shouldest even visit him? If you reject that, he should despise you. If I reject that, he should despise me. I'm despicable. If I could use a term we're all familiar with. A people that provoketh me to anger continually, to my faith that sacrifice in gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of brick. Now, what he's talking about there is the Gentiles. He says, I'm going to reach out to them. They're not reaching out for me, but I'm going to reach out to them. He says, I'm going to first come to mine, and they're going to refuse me, and then I'm going to reach out to them. You say, well, that does end the Jews. Well, let's see if it does. Which say, stand, verse 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. You know, a Pharisee once said, or in writings, I read this. I don't know, I wasn't there. But he said, you know, I wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street that a Gentile sold an egg on. That's who he's talking about, folks. Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh because Jonah hated Gentiles. Verse 6, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense unto into their bosom. Now, I'm going to pay them. Listen, folks can just, I can't think of the word. What, when you stick your nose up at, what is that? Snub your nose. Thank you. They can just snub their nose at God if they want to. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. Yeah, it is. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. So here he's talking about three groups of people, isn't he? He's talked about the Gentiles. He's going to reach out to them. He's going, talking about the Jews that rejected him. He's going to deal with them. And then he talks about the remnant of Israel. Those that will reach out to him. Those that will hear him. Those that will accept him. Those that will believe in him. Let's see if it changes. And he says, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountain, and mine elect shall inherit it. Remember, the mountain is the kingdom. Oh, the remnant's going to get the kingdom, folks. We read about that last week. And he says, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks. Sharon's a plain in Palestine. You know, he's called the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. And he says, Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. David said it this way, he leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. I'll take God's green pasture any day of the week.
Yes.
But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. In other words, you worship your own strength and might. Therefore, I'll number you. You're big on numbers, he said. I'm going to number you unto the sword. And you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you didn't answer. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I say this, God knows my heart. I say it with brokenness inside. My daddy used to have a saying, that's dangerous as a cock gun. It's dangerous as a cock gun to come into this place and hear God call you and go out that door. You say, Tom, I don't know about that. Well, let's see if that's true. He says, for I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you didn't hear. But did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat. You're going to be hungry. My servants shall drink. You're going to be thirsty. My servants shall rejoice. You're going to be ashamed. Now, if you don't see that thread I've given you over and over and over, I'm not a good teacher. He's talking about the choice, folks. He says they chose the blessing. Therefore, they're going to not go hungry. The other one chose the curse, therefore they're going to go hungry. It's not complicated. It's all about your choice. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow. He says you're going to have a lot of grief on you. And shall howl for brokenness of spirit. Y'all have heard that before in a verse called, where there shall be weeping and wailing. The wailing is the same word as the howling. One's in one language, the other's in another. It doesn't make any difference about the language, folks. The message stays the same. I don't care if it's in Hebrew or Greek. It's the same message. What are you choosing? Who are you choosing? Where are you going? Because there's one place you're going. You're going in a straight gate and a narrow way, or you're going in a broad gate and a wide way. And you ain't going but one of those two. One ends up in eternal life. One ends up in destruction. And shall howl for vexation of spirit, and ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. I don't know if y'all, I'm sure you have. You've heard a song called, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the bright robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, has come home, for there's a, that's the bass part. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my children, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, a new name. that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes, and behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Does that remind you of anything? I'll say that again. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. It is a question. Does that remind you of anything? I'm going to give it one more chance. Does that remind you of anything? If it does, raise your hand and tell me. That's okay. I'll raise mine and tell you. Your sin. See, when you come to Christ, old things pass away. All things become new. He says, and your sins and your iniquities. Oh, great. Maybe you ain't picking this up. I am blessed, God, because I know what it's like to have your sins forgiven. I don't know about you, brother. I can only testify for me. There ain't a day goes by. Not a day that goes by that the accuser don't come and point out my past and point out my sin. But you know what? It takes just a blink of an eye. It takes just a second for the Holy Spirit to say, well, bless God, I don't remember it. Well, glory! Clean gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Never to be remembered anymore. Not by me. I do remember it. You know why I remember it, Jimmy? Because it's like the Lord says, I don't want you to ever forget what it cost me to pay for that filthiness in your life. He don't remember it, but he's going to let me every now and then. He'll let the old accuser come just like he did to Job. But he says, but you can't have his life. Whew, glory, what a God. What a God we serve. I can't believe anybody would turn him down. Glory. Praise his holy name. Now look over at 66 for just a second. Psalm 66. Now moving on. I got to hurry. Psalm 66 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. Boy, y'all bless when it says that. The heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? David got this bright idea that he's going to build God a house. God knew his heart. He knew what David meant. David said, well, it's not right for God to dwell in a tent and me to live in a castle. He said, I'm going to build the Lord a house. But the Lord said, well, how big are you going to build it? I mean, how big a house are you going to build for me? The heaven's my throne. Why, the earth is my footstool. You say, well, how in the wide world of sport could we ever know a God like that? Oh, he understood that question's coming, didn't he? Because he answers it, Bill. He says, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man or woman will I look, even to him or her that is poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. And a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You want to get God's attention? Don't try to build him something. Give him something. Just come to him like he says. Oh God, I be like that boy in the temple. Oh God, I'm a sinner, oh Lord. Have mercy on me. That's what it means. That's a broken spirit. That's a contrite heart. And remember, he said, that's the sacrifice that I desire. That's what I'll accept. So who's going in to this new heaven and this new earth? These. These right here. And she says, I am, bless God. I like that even better. Huh? Listen, I can't say that for you. But I tell you what, that hand was quick to go up. I am. Yeah, I tell you what. Now look, if you will, it's Revelation 21. Revelation 20. I'm just going to read it. Oh, bless God, I'm just going to read it. It doesn't need me to tell you anything. I'll tell you everything you need to know. And I saw. You did get that, didn't you? Huh? I just read to you over in Isaiah. I'll come over here. Maybe you're paying attention. I just read to you in Isaiah where the Lord said, behold, I make a new heaven and a new earth. John, I see it. Glory. You know why you're going to see it, Bill? Because the tomb's empty. You thought I wasn't going to teach on Easter, didn't you? I'll tell you why you're going to see it, bless God, because the tomb's empty. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up, bless God. Oh, glory, what a God we serve. Oh, I love you, Miss Morton. Glory, what a God. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth. Wasn't that what he said? He says, and I'm going to tell you something. Come on. I got somebody's attention. Here's what he says, honey. He says, this new one I'm making, it's going to be so good. It'll get gooder and gooder. You won't even remember that other one. You won't even make a comparison. You won't say, well, that sort of looks like. No, no. Oh, listen, I know this is a beautiful world we live in. I do. I know God's creation. You know, I got a picture from my pastor this past week. You may have got, I don't know. He looked like a rebel sitting under a tree with a hat on. And I said, well, you're trying to be a rebel? He said, no, Tom. He said, I was just remembering that I've always liked to be out in the woods. With the face shining on, with the sun shining on my face. You know what I said? Okay, Joe. y'all didn't get it. He did. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. You know why there'd be no more sea, don't you? Why is there a sea now? Huh? Separation. It separates. Continents. People are separated. Well, we won't need no separation. We all going to be in the same family. I mean, I don't want to be separated from the family, do you? I'll get rid of that sea. We need a lot of land for his. Remember, we read to you back there where there's billions, myriads, millions, tens of millions, can't even count them, around the throne. Well, that many people, folks, are going to need a lot of land because he don't want us to be cluttered up. Huh? I'll show you that in a minute. Oh, it gets better. Oh, God. Run that clock back. I'm having a good time. I even forgot what chapter it's in. And I know I was over reading in chapter 19. I said, that don't sound right. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. No, I got to get to verse 2. And I, John. You get that, don't you? Huh? Where do you get there? Huh? No, what do you get there? Here, I'll give it to you my way. Ah, John. He can't believe it. He gets to see it. Ah, John, look at, who am I? Well, that's that humble spirit. That's that contrite spirit. That's that broken heart. That's what that is. He still got it, by the way. And when you see it, you're going to still have it. He says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Why do we have to have a New Jerusalem? Well, bless God, the king ain't going to dwell in the old one. Jerusalem is the city of the king. Glory. I guess, oh boy, y'all see me when I'm studying. I get plumb nuts. And I heard I was going, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. You thought you was going to see people, didn't you? You thought the bride was a person. No, the bride's a place. Huh? The bride's a place. What did he say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place. But it's not just a place that's prepared. It's for a people that's prepared. See, if you're not prepared for the place, you're not going to the prepared place. They let this world think they are. Bless God, they're not. He says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place. And remember, he said, hey, don't you try to build me no city. You can't build me no city. Don't you try to build me no temple. You can't build me no temple. I'm going to show you what God builds. Oh, glory, this is something else. I got to read fast now. I got to stop talking. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's where I want to be. That'll be heaven to me. That's what that song says. Wherever he's at, heaven to me. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. Oh, first thing I thought about was my little sister back here and my little brother Alex and Hannah. What it felt like to lose that little baby. Not here. Not here. I won't stand beside my mother's bed anymore and watch her go out of here. Not here. This is the prepared place by a great God. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know what passed away means? I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you in my vernacular. Go. Oh, it's like that magician. You've seen that magician. He's got his little wand out and whoop, and the smoke comes up and it's gone. Well, ain't got no wand, but God just says you be gone. And he that sat upon him, the throne said, that's God, by the way, in case you have any questions. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. For these words are true. I'll give it to you in my vernacular. John, what you just saw, put it down. You didn't see a myth. You ain't dreaming. That's real. That's real. Listen. Don't believe it's real, you ain't going. Huh? And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha. I'm the beginning. I'm Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life. Wasn't that what he told the woman at the well? Oh, honey, if you drink the water I'll give you, you'll never thirst again.
Thank you, Lord.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Who's an overcomer? I get that. I'm talking about the definition in the Bible. So since y'all raised your hand, I'll come to you and ask you where it's at. You want me to do that? Yeah. Oh, it's right here. Okay. Oh, it's in here. That's okay. No, that's okay. Y'all know I do that to you because I love you. I can tell you where it's at, Bill. It's in 1 John chapter 5. He says, who is an overcomer but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ?
That's right. That's right.
I'll give that to you in a paraphrased version. Who's going to get the victory? He that believeth what God said about his son, that he's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the door. You come in by the door or you ain't coming in. That's bad English for you young people, but that's the truth. That's what he's saying. He's talking about that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Not just this city. You're going to see what you're going to inherit. Oh, this is so good. We'll all want to go today. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I don't know if you can grasp that. I can't. I know what it's like to be Guy Foster and Isla Foster's son, to be in their family. But they wasn't God. But I am. Now, does anybody remember? I'm not going to get done. I can't ever get done. I got too much to give you. Does anybody remember when he was told to, he was given the scroll, remember? And he was told to eat it. Anybody remember that? I know you do, so I won't waste time. And he says, and I ate it. And it was, and, well, has it not been sweet up to now? Hey, listen, if it ain't been sweet to you up now, bless God, let's get to the altar. Huh? But now the bitterness. It'd be nice if there was no bitterness. But he says this, and I put that here. I put stuff in my Bible. I put a disclaimer. You know what a disclaimer is, don't you? Huh? Yeah. So he puts in a disclaimer. He says, but. Now, as our pastor would say, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part, your portion, what you deserve. I'm going to give you exactly what you deserve, he says. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now you would think, that this is a litany of people, wouldn't you? I mean, you would think that this is a category of people, wouldn't you? I mean, we've got the fearful. Now, the word fearful there in the Greek means coward. You know, we have people that don't believe in Christ, will not accept Christ because they're cowards. And then he says, not only the fearful, but the unbelieving. Well, that's people, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't need that. And then he says the abominable. Well, who's the abominable? Oh, that's the detestable ones. And if you go to Titus, you'll get a definition of it. I can't go there. I'm going to give it to you. He says, For with their mouth they profess that they know God, but their hearts... Well, for God to say they're far from Him, you say, well, God's everywhere. He says, yeah, I'm everywhere, and they are far from me.
That's right.
And they are detestable to God. Remember, that's the one back in Isaiah talked about, remember? He said, they say, get away from me, for I'm holier than you are. So you got the fearful. You got the unbelieving. And you got the abominable. What's the next one? The murders. You say, boy, finally one that don't get me. Oh, it does. He says, who is a murderer but he that hateth his brother without a cause? You don't have to pull a gun on them and shoot them. You don't have to take a knife and stab them to death. You don't have to run over them with a car. You just hate them without a cause. God says you're a murderer. And you know what? It matters what God says. And then he says, the whoremongers. Well, this is grown-ups in here. We all know what whoremongers are. Well, in the Greek, it's called a male prostitute. But it's not just male prostitute, folks. It's the same thing as a fornicator. Now, you can do this later if you want to. But assuming everybody in here would already know. But if you go on Webster's Dictionary and look up the word fornicator, you will see it says this: sex outside of marriage. Well, hello. God's already said that. He said, marriage is honorable. And the bed is undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers. I didn't hear you. God will judge. So he says, I've got that. And then he says, idolaters. You say, oh, that's them people that bow down to a statue. Well, it don't have to be a statue. It's just anybody that worships anyone other than God. And you can't worship God unless you worship God through His Son.
That's right.
Period. And any other kind of worship, bless God, you're an idolater. And then he says, liar. Now, I've mentioned this to you before. I'll mention it again because no one in here will remember. I weigh 202 pounds. And Bill said, you're a liar. I can look at you and tell you lying thing. You weigh no 202 pounds. You better add some. Huh? Should have known better than getting near him. No, it's not talking about a woman that lies about her age. Or a man that lies about his weight or his age. Or a husband that told his wife he only spent $100. No, we have to have the biblical definition. We have to have the definition from the Word of God, don't we, honey? So what is it? You don't know, do you? That's okay. That's all right. See, I'll get it to where nobody in here will answer. Well, first, we have to go back to 1 John. You say, Tom, how come all these answers are in 1 John? Because let me tell you something. If you doubt what you've got, if you doubt who you are, you go read 1 John 5 straight times. You won't doubt no more. You will know exactly what you've got. You will know exactly who you are because it's a test. That's all it is. It's a midterm test. So he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? If you deny that, it not only says you're a liar, Jimmy, it says you make God a liar and the truth's not in you. I'm going to tell you something. I might call Bill a liar and might get away with it. I don't know. Some people you call a liar, you better duck. My brother being one of them. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You better never call God a liar. You won't duck quick enough. You don't call him a liar. But you see, here's the thing about it. Now I'll quit because I'm out of breath and I want to sing. This is not a litany nor a group of people. This is one person. This is one person. All made up in that list of things. One person. Anyone outside Christ fits the bill. And what does he say? You ain't going. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to read it to you one more way and then I'm going to hush. All these, he says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And at the very end of the chapter, which I'll come to next week, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. If you reject Christ, you'll never see what John saw. If you reject Christ, you'll never walk in a city that I'm going to give you next week. If you reject Christ, you've made God a liar. And it'll be the worst mistake. It'll be the worst choice that you've ever made. But they which are written in the Lamb book of life, and I'm done with this, don't leave this place today without making dead sure your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's only one way to get it written there, in blood.